shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples.
Yes, for the samples, because seasonal allergies are no joke in the state of Tennessee.
Or Kentucky, where I spend the summers at Hopetown. I spend most of the summer outdoors and could not function without allergy relief.
Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D.
This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease.
You just described my exact state in waking up, minus the need for coffee.
I've been taking Claritin D for my allergies for years, and it's been an absolute life changer. I can be outside with the kids at camp without my eyes watering like a fountain, and I can speak without feeling like a frog has jumped into my throat.
But at Hopetown, a frog could jump into your boat or your bed, and Claritin can't really help with that.
That's true, but they've got allergies covered. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear.
Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter.
Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription.
Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear.
Use as directed. Hey friends, welcome to the Raising Boys and Girls podcast. I'm Sissy Goff.
And I'm David Thomas.
And I'm Melissa Trevathan.
And we're so glad you joined us for this conversation. Let's dive in.
Dave Barnes has recorded countless albums of his own, including his newest single, Sunshine, which we love. And he has had over 100 songs, including number one hits recorded by other artists such as Florida Georgia Line, Tim McGraw, Reba McEntire, Dan and Shay, Carrie Underwood, Need to Breathe, I can't even say all these, Billy Currington, and countless more. Dave is also the co-host of the wildly popular Dadville podcast, of which we both had the pleasure of being guests on. What's your title?
The Mayor of Dadville.
There you go. However, his amazing wife, Annie's guest hosting of the Dadville podcast might be the audience's favorite to date. Annie is wise, thoughtful, generous, and a dear friend. They are the parents of three incredible kids and a brand new puppy. We are thrilled to have them with us. Annie and Dave, come on out.
Yes.
We're so excited.
There is so much goodness on this stage right now.
Yes, there is.
We prepared a song. There's nothing that she would like to do less than sing Islands in the Stream with me in front of all of you. And there's nothing I would like to do more than sing Islands in the Stream.
We have to say, we were going to do walkout songs. And we thought they were going to be these really fun pump-up songs, and your request was...
Well, I didn't know that was the request. You said what song... I don't know if y'all feel this way. I'm sorry, you have to see the back of my head, and I'm balding, so it's getting bad. but when they sent this, they were like, what song meant a lot to you growing up? And I thought about it forever, and this was my real answer. Somewhere Out There from American Tale.
So we're sorry that they didn't walk out Somewhere Out There. But
everybody would just started crying all at once. Like, oh, I remember that mouse. I remember him missing his parents. It went awful.
Okay, you two. Y'all are beloved, both of you, in the Nashville community and beyond. Your music, your amazing podcast, Dadville, which Annie has taken over a few times. And when we posted about y'all doing this, somebody wrote on our post, I think that Annie... B is going to, what am I saying that right? Yeah, Annie B is going to be the new Annie F. Downs. So there you go, Annie.
Nope.
And You have mentored girls for years, which is how I originally met you, and you'll have three amazing kids. So we all start off talking a little bit about your family and how you're spending your time these days, both of you.
Okay, well, we've got three kids. We have Ben, who is 11. Zanna, our daughter, who is 9. And then we have Sammy, our little caboose, who is 7. And David and Sissy both know our three kids.
We adore your three kids
so well. And I just want to publicly say thank you for all you guys do for us and all of us collectively, but especially the two of us. Like, you guys are amazing. It is such a privilege to be sitting with you. So thanks for having us. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Dave and I have gotten into like lunch dates. So we like to go on double dates if you guys ever want to join us.
Yeah, love it.
Dave has a lot of free time.
You know, being a musical entrepreneur, I let my work work for itself, and it gives me free time. No, I do have, that has been a fun season for us with the kids, like all in school. You know, now that Sam, once he got to kindergarten, it was so funny because, like, you know, one of us would drop the kids off and come home. So, like, you know, get some coffee, and we just sort of sit and, like, is this what retired people feel like? You know, it's like, the funniest part I'll say quickly about that is I go on a weekly walk with my best friend, a guy named Micah, and he and his wife do dates all the time, and Annie and I just don't do dates. And so after he would kind of, they do a Friday night date, he and his wife, it's a standing thing, they've done it forever. And I started to feel really convicted because I was like, I don't feel like I'm like taking Annie out. What do I do? And so I finally, like, I remember coming home after one of the walks, like, hey, like, let's go on a date this week. And she was kind of like, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I was like, that's not really a response I was looking for. And so I'll never forget, we did this a couple times, and we would go sit, and it would be like this nice meal. And literally about 4 minutes in, it'd be like, so. Because we realized we spent so much time during the day together. Because, you know, if I'm just writing in my studio in the backyard, or some days I'm not, or whatever, but I'm around a lot and she's around a lot. And so we usually are pretty caught up. And so the dates ended up being these just really expensive, sort of silent, sweet dinners. We're just sort of like, you know.
Well, you have some new music coming out, which we're super excited about. Will you talk about what inspired it?
Yeah. Look at you. Isn't that so sweet? I do. I'll tell you quickly. So, you know, one of the tricks of I think I have like 13 albums or something now. And I think one of the tricks of doing that for as long as I have is, you know, like, there's just a lot of music. And at some point, it's like you've said something a lot. You know, there's only so many things you can write about. So this new record is really fun. And this is a huge departure for me. In 2022... all I did was listen to the Beatles. It's a band from Europe, from London, and trying to get their thing off the ground. And it looks like it's going to work. So very inspired by the Monkees. And so they, that was Dumb and Dumber reference. For those who are, there's like two guys, and they're like, oh my God, you know. But that's all I did. And so I was like, it'd be fun to sort of do a deep dive into their catalog, which I did. And so the record that I'm putting out in 2 months in October was my sort of like inspired by that year of listening to them. So this new song, Sunshine, is like the first of that. And it was so, it's fun to be able to still be inspired doing something, you know. Music is a lot like sports, professional sports. Like, it's really hard to do it for a long time. It's just, it's not an industry that's really set up to honor people who try to do a 30-year run at it. And so
I've never heard you compare yourself to a professional.
Oh, you know, it's funny. Let's edit that. If we could edit that, that'd be great. Just leave that out. So I'm thrilled with it, and it's really fun, and super, I'm really proud of it. So that's the, if that's all I feel, it's a good feeling this long into a career, you know.
Well, you had a big tour. Are y'all still doing it? You were out last weekend. Okay, yeah. You've been a part of a big tour. We'd love to hear about that. And Annie, for you, what it was like, because y'all came out and joined them for part of it, right? Yeah. What was the highlight?
Yeah, it was fun. So I've been opening for Lady A this year. We have two more weekends in October, and it's just been I mean, I've known all three of them before they were in Lady A, when they had just moved to Nashville and were sort of starting to play around, and they'd come to shows, and which is so funny. And so it's been great. It's been such a blast of a tour in really beautiful rooms. We're doing a lot of theaters. So it's been great. It's been awesome.
Well, Dave and they played in Memphis, and we're only 3 hours from Memphis. So Hillary's husband, Chris, called me, and he's like, hey, what if we rent a tour bus and take the kids to Memphis and see them play? And I was like, yeah, of course. So our kids love a tour bus. I don't know if anybody out here has ever seen a tour bus. Actually, it's a unique thing. But our kids love a tour bus. So Chris and I rented a tour bus, and we put our kids on at like 8 a.m. to drive to Memphis. And we were like, what are we going to do the whole time? Like, we're on this bus with these kids for literally, we got stuck in traffic for 4.5 hours. Our kids, all six of them, played hide and go seek on a tour bus,
yes.
Which is crazy because there's not that many places to hide. But for 4 hours, they entertained themselves by playing hide and go seek.
Wow. Which was a bit worrying. You know, you're like, oh boy, okay. That's, you know, I was like, well, they have my IQ, obviously, because they're like, we could do this for hours. There's so many places to hide. I'm like, I was like, uh-oh.
I got a chance to see that show when you all came through Nashville. It is incredible. You are so talented. So if there's any tickets left, wherever they're playing, go.
New York.
That's our
Come
instruction.
To New York. Yeah. Ooh, I'll be there.
Amazing.
David, did you get your taxes finished? What did you say? What are you eating?
Okay, I am obsessed with these new Chipotle barbecue kettle chips.
Will you share?
I would have, but they are all gone.
Where'd you get them?
Thrive Market.
How much do we love Thrive Market?
I could record an entire podcast about that topic.
You know who else loves Thrive Market? Patches. She loves the surf and turf meaty littles from The Honest Kitchen.
I love that Patches has a surf and turf situation going on.
From pets to kids to grown-ups, everyone can find things they love at Thrive.
Thrive Market is my go-to for all my grocery and household essentials. And the convenience of getting everything online then quickly shipped to my doorstep is a huge time saver.
I love that Thrive Market carries brands with the highest quality ingredients and sourcing methods. They restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories, and I can use their on-site filters to suit my lifestyle needs.
Whether you're looking for organic kid snacks, low-sugar alternatives, or gluten-free pantry essentials, you can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks.
And as a Thrive Market member, I save money on every single grocery order. On average, I save over 30% each time. They even have a deals page that changes daily and always has some of my favorite brands. David, how much did you save on your last order?
I saved $32.
I saved over $12.67.
How much did Patches save?
A lot. She's ordering more than I am.
You got me hooked on ordering frozen foods. I got salmon, bacon, and pork this month.
Something else I love is when you join Thrive Market, you are also helping a family in need with their one-for-one membership matching program. You join, they give.
I love that too. Save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/RBG for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift.
That's thrivemarket.com/RBG. thrivemarket.com/RBG.
Okay, speaking of those amazing kids, in this season of the podcast, we're talking about ages and stages, kind of who kids are and what they need in different moments. And we'd love to first hear from you all, like, what was your favorite stage growing up and why? And to go with this question, we have a little visual of your growing up that we're going to put on the screen right now. That is awesome.
Aww.
That was me at the height of my powers. I felt unbelievably cool right there, if you can't tell. I also couldn't see you because those glasses were huge and ineffective. That was right when I got my glasses. Do you want to go?
My favorite stage was high school, like for sure, because I could drive, I was independent, I had, you know, we did the most fun things, and I loved it. It was the best.
I really liked the whole thing. No. college was, I mean, that may be too old for what y'all are referencing, but college was, I loved high. So we moved when I was, when my dad was a pastor, and we moved from Mississippi, small town Mississippi, to Knoxville, the middle of my high school years. So the summer before my junior year, which was actually awesome. It was, I was kind of ready for bigger, and it was, which was awesome. And that's kind of how I got into music. It was great. High school was great. I loved it. College was just such a fun 4.5 years for me. I was studying a doctorate. The School of Hard Knocks. But it was great. I really liked that. It was fun. Fun season.
When y'all look back on your growing up years, when would you say you started to see something of who you are today emerging?
good question, sissy. So I'll never forget this. Like, I grew up really loving... just being creative. Like, I used to draw a lot and really enjoyed music listening, but didn't really play. And then I remember so succinctly, I went on this youth group trip and you know, was never like up in front of people or anything like that. And I went on this youth group trip with another youth group from Clarksdale, Mississippi. So our youth group in Kosciuszko, Mississippi partnered. So it was all these people. And we did a talent night, and I wasn't even going to do anything for it. And a friend of mine was like, "Hey, we're doing this skit. Can you just kind of get up and MC the skit?" And I'm telling you, something happened that night. And it was totally improv. It was unprepared. And we were doing this fake dating show, which we should have called Fading. And and I just remember being on stage, and they just were like, just intro it and then kind of MC it. And it was like I was holding Thor's hammer. I was just, everything I said was funny. All the girls that didn't care about me were laughing. And I was like, whatever this is, I want more of this. And, and that sort of began, it was like it kicked something on in me that was like, man, I really enjoy entertaining people. And it changed everything from there. Like, and it was just such a natural thing. And so I remember coming home from that. My parents tell you, they were like, something changed.
Wait, how old were you, we say?
I was probably like 13 or 14.
Wow.
But it was, you know, something awakened. It was like, oh, okay, it was totally not in my periphery at all. Wow. And so it was fun to see like, oh, okay, that was a thing, you know, buried in there.
It's so cool.
I don't really know how to answer this. I mean, I guess when I was like in ninth or 10th grade this summer after that, I started volunteering mainly through like, I don't know, maybe FCA or something. I don't know, some organization for like inner city kids. And where I'm from Jackson, Mississippi, and like, there's not a lot of crossover between like where I grew up and then like the other side of Jackson. And so it was like a huge moment for me as like a, you know, early teenager of like seeing how people in my city that weren't like me lived and experienced life. And it really affected me a lot. And I think it has informed a lot of things since then with ways I spend my time and ways I want my kids to grow up, you know?
Yeah.
I want to do mine again. You know, I remember when I was little and the Lord put a calling on my life.
You mentioned your kids' ages. They're obviously in different stages of development. What's been your favorite stage with them so far and why?
When I had like a tiny little tot, you know, like a infant, I remember this lady coming up to me and saying, oh, 8 months is like the best month. And so when I had like Ben, when he was, you know, 2 months, I'd wait and be like, okay, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And 8 months really was magical. It was great because they can like sit, but not really walk. And, you know, but then he like turned 9 months old and I was like, oh, now he's past 8 months. Like, what are we gonna do? But, you know, looking back, like, 8 months is a magical age, but I really feel like our kids, it's still fun. Like, every stage and is different, and, you know, but I'm loving, like, having real conversations with, like, an early middle school kid, yes. and still, you know, all, I don't know. I don't have a favorite. I'm along for the ride, you know? What do you think?
Yeah. I do, you know, I don't know. Yeah, y'all talked about Dadville. I have a podcast called Dadville that I do. Which with. I don't know if you guys know about it, but and one of the great things about that, doing that, is it's because we talk about our kids and hear dads and moms talk about their kids. It's just really good for sinking my feet in the ground over and over of like, hey, like, this is what you're going through. Think about this. And I think one of the sort of like benefits of hearing people talk about their kids so much is, you know, I think with mine, I'm a very affectionate, like, physical touch guy. And I just love that they're still in those phases. Like, all three of them are extremely affectionate. And I think, I'm not, you know, it'll be beautiful when we move to the next phase with Ben, when he kind of gets to the teenage years, but
they don't hate us yet.
Yeah. They're like, you're pretty cool, Dad. I'm like, please let me stay this way to you. You know? And so in truth, I mean, what Annie said, I think I'm thankful for that too. Like, that you can still feel them sort of looking up at you like, wow, you know, and I'm trying to enjoy that before the tide shifts, like, shut the door, leave it alone. So I really enjoy this phase. It's been really fun. Yeah.
What is the best parenting advice you've ever been given?
Well, this is another cheat code from the podcast. Truthfully. I mean, we kind of asked that to most of our guests in some form, and you just get a lot of really great wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I probably, and y'all talk about this, I think the thing that I have been the most thankful for probably is that so many counselors and therapists have said this on the show, where they're like, you know, you can only take your kid as far as you've gone yourself. And I think one thing I'm glad about being alive in 2023 is that therapy and counseling is so much more common and approved of. Even with my parents, you know, who love therapy and are huge proponents of it, they even have a different view than I do. And so I think as it becomes more commonplace and more essential and more needed and seen as a huge resource, you know, I think it really does put the onus on Annie and I and us as parents to go, hey, like, it's really unfair for me to look at my kid and be like, what's going on with you? And they're like, well, hey, well, like, what's going on with you? And you're like, touche, good man, you know? So I think that's been a real challenge to me, and really helpful, because I think I want my kids to feel like they see me trying to continually evolve and be better and be more mature and know myself better in those ways, mm-hmm. so that I can relate to them better and show them how to do it. You know, because I fear that day when they sort of pass you, when they kind of look at you and they're like, oh man. And I don't want that to happen. I want to be able to continually lead as a dad, yeah. in that way. So I really like that one.
I think of, our old headmaster at our kids' school. When we went on a tour, when, like, our oldest was about to start kindergarten, she said, this place is a place where our kids have freedom to fail. And I remember being like, oh, like, freedom to fail, you know? And then as I got to know her, and you guys too are big proponents of this, but, like, it's so hard as parents for us to, like, want our kids to be able to fail, because we don't want that naturally, you know, but just to recognize that, like, that's what life is about, and to be in a place and be supportive of them when they fail, and somehow, you know, walk through that with them has been a real learning experience for me, and, like, just a good challenge, I think, as moving forward. And we're just still on the front end of parenting, but, I also love the parenting advice just to ask forgiveness to your kids. And I try to do that a lot. It's just like, ask for forgiveness, because my parents never asked me for forgiveness, yeah. you know, like, that'd be awesome to hopefully give that to them. Just making sure they know that we are screwing up too, you know?
Yeah.
Along those lines, we respect you both so much as people and as parents. Like, is there anything that you feel like parents really need to hear today?
My new album, and it's coming out in October, so please do check that out. Annie, did you want to say anything about the album? Namely about the album.
His album's great.
Yeah, it's great. I think I owe y'all each $5, by the way. Thank you for that setup.
All joking aside, before this man answers, as is evident, if you are not listening to Dadville, downloading his music, yes, and following him on Instagram, like, you're not living your best life.
So don't do that now. Don't do that. I think the thing that this is something we've talked about with Dad. Well, one of my favorite things about having older men on that are like granddads, which is kind of, we haven't done a lot, but it's so powerful because it's such a different perspective. You know, you have generations of wisdom there. But that we've talked about with them is just this idea that it's like, it's just never too late. It's just never too late, right? Like, one of the crazy things about the way that God programmed all of us, and even if I sat with probably a lot of you in this room and said, like, hey, would you like to be close to your parents? Some of y'all may say, I don't. I really do not want. They've hurt me. But the thing is, you actually really do, right? Like, if it could really be healed, we really do want that. And that is just the way we're programmed. Like, that's unshakable. That is the way God made us. And so the hope that gives me is, as much as I've screwed it up, my kids, no matter what, still want their dad. Like, always. And so I find so much hope in that. Because I'm like, as much as we screw up, there's always a way back. Especially, I think, initiated by us, you know, as parents, to really say, like, hey, this bridge can always be, I mean, it can be a ton of work, but it can always be built back. Because God is like, that compass always points one direction in a kid's heart. You know, it's never too late, you know.
Mm. Love that.
I would just say, like, that our kids just need us, you know. They don't need all the fancy things or the best whatever. It's like just giving them you and your time and your attention. And it's hard because we're so busy and we have so many things going on, and, you know, but just being present, I think, is what they need.
Yeah. Well, y'all know we like to talk about food. And we would love to hear if there is a meal that defined your growing up, or that y'all feel like will define your kids growing up, what it would be.
So, a little preface here. Growing up in Mississippi, in tiny 8,000-person Kosciuszko, Mississippi, we only had, I think, 4 chains of restaurants, like national chains. One of them was Pizza Hut. And I know you can't tell now because I'm in amazing shape, but I was kind of a husky kid. And that's neither here nor there. We're moving through that quickly. There's 2 meals that I think of that really sort of define my childhood. One is, like, I don't know what happened that suddenly we had the budget for this, because growing up, my dad was a pastor at a tiny church in Mississippi, you know, like, but I remember, like, one Friday, Mom was like, we can order Pizza Hut tonight. And I was like, what did you just say? It was like we're going to hang out when people leave and grab pieces really quickly as they're gone. She's like, no, like, real pizza. I was like, oh my God. And they would let me call. And I feel like y'all in this room are old enough to know this. Do y'all remember the Bigfoot pizzas at Pizza? Yes, you do. Everybody in here. I saw tears just in the corner of eyes. They would let me order, and it was like, I remember going and picking them up and just, like, you know, they're huge. They're like the size of the car, you know, and I ate about half of them. And we're not going to judge that. You saw me. Okay. But that was a big deal. And then even to this day, it's really sweet. It's funny you ask that question because it infers a lot of things, but, you know, there would be like a few things. Mom, this is such a random meal, but I still love it. We love artichokes. And so Mom would buy artichokes and we'd do, like, either a steak or something kind of nice. And it was like a Christmas meal. Like, it'd be like, we're cooking artichokes, biggest deal. And it's funny how those things really, in such a Pavlovian way, yes, you just sort of, like, yes, you know, yes, tonight matters. And so even, yeah, like, you're kind of sitting there and you're in your best behavior and everybody's, you know, it was like a big deal.
In the artichokes.
Yeah. In the artichokes. Yeah. Yes. It was a big deal. Listen, those things aren't cheap, FYI. And but it, you realize, I mean, so much of this is in the Bible, this idea of feasting and dinners and being together, an eternal feast, right? And so you realize that these meals really do matter, especially these moments as parents when you can kind of set up moments. Even now we do pizza movie night every Friday night. And the kids, it's so fun to have that pattern where they, you know, they aren't calling it Bigfoots, rest in peace. But, you know, just to have some sense of like, this matters to us and we're going to be purposely be together, you know, is really sweet.
When I was growing up, this is one of my like parenting goals. Honestly, we need to start this. We tried, but we're not great. And it might have been when I was older, but my mom used to always put like a chicken in the oven before we went to church. And then after church, we always had extra people at our house. Like every Sunday lunch, there's like maybe 8 extra people, just, and a lot, we live by college, so a lot of times it was college kids, or, but I just remember growing up and like always having Sunday chicken and dumplings and a bunch of random people at my house, and it was beautiful and I loved it, and we need to make chicken and dumplings.
Yeah, I told her that, but she
Did you love today's episode? If so, would you mind sharing it with a friend? Send a quick text or email with the link to the show.
Join us next time for another episode where we'll bring you help and hope on your journey of raising boys and girls.